station.
And a high fly ball to deep right center field. The Phillies have the lead. And Kyle Schwarber has the major league season record for leadoff home runs. He now has 14.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Chris, there was not a lot of discussion in this meeting about expansion, but only largely because, not for lack of interest, it was that we had said to them that we're not quite ready.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Line drive, fair ball, base hit, get to the corner. Here comes Bellinger. And they'll hold the runner at third as Bush dives back in. It's a double for Nico, an RBI, and knocks in a run. It's 5-3.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Good morning, happy hump day, everybody. Let's get our hump on.
What is happening?
It is a sneaky little part of this gig. How, like, down to the final seconds you do things and people have no idea. And then it's like all normal on the open front, but like internally it's like
panic.
2-1, you get it done.
Hey, welcome in. How's it going, everybody? Nothing to see here. Like a football coach getting his game plan in 90 seconds before the kickoff starts. What play are we going to call first? I don't know. Okay, we got it. All right, now we're ready to go.
Dan Lanning versus Ido.
That's right. What are we going to do? I don't know. I just showed up. What's happening? Oh, okay. The game's starting. Kicking off. Don't be stupid. Let's do that play.
That's definitely sometimes just what it is. Like, I'm cutting audio up. I'm like recording. I'm like, oh my God, I hear the show open start. I'm like, oh my Lord, they need to send this to Swag now.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm playing hurt today. I threw out my back yesterday, and my wife did ask me, God bless her heart. She asked me yesterday when she got
congratulations.
Yeah, she said,
wicked sex.
Yeah, she said, are you going into work tomorrow? And I was like, well, honey, I sit in a chair and I talk sports for a couple of hours.
Wait a minute. She thought you weren't coming in?
I mean, it was pretty rough last night. I was not moving very well.
Do you want to tell the people what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's over. I had a good run, made it 35 years, almost 36, a couple of months away from 36, officially washed, and I'm going to go ahead and hang everything up and retire from life because I threw out my back picking up my 7-month-old child. And it was like
a standard pickup?
Just a standard
you
pickup.
Just bent over to pick him up.
He was on the floor, woke up from his nap. We were changing his diaper, picking him up off the ground. And just the second I got like halfway up, it was, that hurt. That didn't feel good. And then I had to sit down in the chair and feed him. And I'm like getting these like sharp pains in my lower back because I'm feeding him. And he's like getting wiggly. And I'm like, dude, I just need a little bit of help right now. I can't. No extra effort can come from my end. I'm going to need a little bit of support here. And it was the worst timing because it was literally I get home. He's taking a nap, which is always great because then I got like an hour to get stuff done for the day, run the dog a little bit, show prep for the next day. It was like perfect. It stays off to a great start. He wakes up, and then right when I pick him up from his nap, it's like 11 o'clock, and here we go. We got to figure out how to do this all day today.
So I know you like to say to everybody how fat you think you are.
Yes.
I call you a fake fat.
Yes.
How fat is your kid?
It's not that. I mean,
I've seen your kid.
He's tall. He's not fat, actually.
He's lanky.
He's breaking the Johnson mold, which I'm very excited about.
We've concluded that he's going to be tall now.
He's a top 20 percentile in height and not in weight. It's like, dude, I don't know who's your dad, but it ain't me right now because that's not what I am. So he's growing. He's not round. He's long, and he's like, I don't know. What was he at our last appointment? 16 pounds, I think. 17. We're going somewhere around there. That was a couple months ago. So maybe up close to 20 pounds right now. It's incredibly embarrassing.
I
was switching off heat pads and ice all afternoon yesterday. I got a back brace on, holding ice packs in. I'm like, what is happening to me right now?
I went to, I just realized I think I left my coffee cup here.
Hey, nice.
I went to a run yesterday in downtown Portland with my whole family.
Yeah, I know. I had people that spotted you there. I got text messages. The paparazzi was texting me. I spot Brandon Sprague at a run club.
I got home way too late.
I went to bed way
too late. We're running on caffeine and coffee right now.
We're off to a good start, man. I can't stand up, and you're barely awake.
I'm awake.
Hey.
It's almost the closest I think I've done to Coke. But I went on a run yesterday, and somebody had shouted me out that they saw me on a run. Hey, Where's your dirtbag co-host?
That was the quote? Where's your
I'm running with my daughter. We're almost at the end of this run, and right behind me, I just hear, hey, where's your dirtbag co-host? And sometimes you hear things, and you don't want to assume it's to you, and so I'm like, I don't, you know, I never really... And so I kind of turn around, and I'm like, where's your dirtbag co-host?
You think he's at a downtown run club? You couldn't have been more wrong, buddy.
I laughed. I said, well, he's certainly not here.
No.
And then I said, you want to hear about that dirtbag? He threw his back out picking his child up. And it was just an awkward, funny chuckle of, oh, my God. So I get done with the run. I go get some food afterwards. And I'm in the car, and I'm talking to my wife, and I say, yeah, Dirt threw his back out picking his baby up. And my wife's reaction was so funny. She goes, oh, he needs to work out.
Yeah, he needs to get in better shape. This is not good. This is a bad sign, man. We're only 7 months into this thing.
Now, I did defend you.
Get bigger and heavier, man.
I laughed. And I said, well, there's probably some truth to that. And I said, also, I got out of the car yesterday after I picked my kid up. And just turned, and I like momentarily tweaked my shoulder back area. And I'm like, oh my God,
what was that? What was that?
No.
Not doing it.
And I started like wiggling and like rolling it. And eventually it like went away. But it was one of those, if you didn't, it might have lingered.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get old. Our backs are relatively weak to most people who probably lift heavy weights.
Yes.
But it is embarrassing when you throw your back out in the worst possible way.
The only thing that I got going for me, at least is in my family, it's not the worst one. Because I'm fairly confident that my brother threw his back out, like seriously, couldn't stand up so bad, taking a dump. Like reaching for the toilet paper. like turning to the side. And you just turn like a little too quick and you get the lock up and you just, I think he had to like slink down to the floor and like couldn't move for 4 days.
This is motivating me. It's 6 a.m. Twitter, so probably nothing. But we should throw it to the Vancouver Ford text line all throughout the show. We should try to bring this up every hour of the show. The theme of the day, the most washed injury you have suffered in your life. I don't care if it's walking on a date with my wife and couldn't even get off the curb without rolling my ankle.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is or how it is. This is a trust tree. We're all washed. We need to be honest about it. What is the most washed injury you've ever experienced?
We got a couple. Somebody said, don't worry, brother. I threw my back out for the first time putting my daughter into her car seat at 34.
Oh, man.
I will say, like,
that's awful.
This is a different feeling. So the one thing that nobody told me about when I had a kid, the dad back is like kind of a thing, and your upper back will become very sore just because of the way you like holding them and picking them up constantly.
It's
like,
a constant. I mean, look, you kid's
16. Down, up and down.
16 pounds, you said?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Okay, so my kid is 8, and she still has these moments where she wants me to hold her and
give
her a hug.
Give me a hug.
She's 68 pounds.
That's a lot of weight, man.
You just nonchalantly pick up 68 pounds and hug it and hold it and walk
it around in the air.
Start throwing tires.
Dude, I was at Disneyland. I held her for an hour straight and the cars
looked
right.
Oh, God,
because she fell asleep. No. She was tired. I held her for an hour and I'm like,
didn't you go sack of potatoes at one point just right over the shoulder?
Yeah. The waist is on the shoulder,
exactly.
Front over the back, back over the front.
I have a little dream that will never become a reality, probably, of being a gym guy. Mm-hmm. Like having a gym open and being an encouraging one, not this weird bro who tells you to take these proteins.
You're Vince Vaughn, you're average Joe's.
And one of my classes would be dad training.
There
and
you
it
go.
Would be like, pick up that sack of potatoes. Now lift. Now down. Now lift. Now down.
And up.
And make you just do like parent duties as you prep for your kids.
Down on the floor. Stand back up. Down on the floor. Stand back up.
Well, car seat yoga. You need yoga for that.
Car seat yoga.
Definitely do.
Yes. You get twisted into a pretzel.
Oh my God. I've had one foot in the car and the other foot's like out of the car and I'm like leaning with my left.
Come on, reach it.
Clip, clip. Damn it, clip. The unclip is actually worse than the clip. Unclip. Come on.
It definitely is. But I noticed like with the newborn dad back, it was more like upper back. It was kind of, you know, right kind of in the middle towards upper part of it. And that was the part that got sore. This is right down at the bottom. Mm. This was a bottom back tear yesterday.
Yeah, lower back is a tough one.
Lower back will do it to you. Then you see my golf swing and you're like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. That guy swings out of his ass every time. It's amazing my back's held on this long as it has.
Now, once upon a time, you were training at a specific gym.
Yeah.
And you were doing like Your trainer had you doing deadlifts and squats.
I was lifting heavy weights.
You were getting kind of big.
I'm relatively strong.
You were throwing some iron.
I'm fat, but I'm relatively strong. There's a lot of muscle under this fat.
In fact, if you check the show archives, you doing it led that old geezer to think he could just nonchalantly squat.
Right.
How much was it?
300 pounds. Squatting 300 pounds.
And he crumbled at the very beginning.
Couldn't get it off the bar.
I don't think I could do a buck 75.
Yeah. Dude, I'd be lucky if I could do a buck 75.
And I hit the 300. No big deal.
And I feel like, and I said this about Hood to Coast, because I used to train legs at a gym. Uh-huh. And now that I have a garage gym, I haven't really done legs. And my legs killed me at Hood to Coast.
Yeah.
I think the same applies to you. I don't think if you were still lifting and doing deadlifts.
That I would have thrown my back out?
I don't think you would have thrown your back out.
It's been a while since I've done a deadlift. I will be honest with
core
you.
Strength. Core strength. Core strength.
Yeah, not a lot of core strength right now. Not a lot of deadlifts right now. Now, somebody said, 33-year-old father of two can't decide if I'm just in dad shape or my life is over soon. That's Steve in Central Oregon. I like that one soon.
It could be both, Steve. Steve, to be honest with you, it's a little mix. You are washed. You are dad strength.
It's a combo.
Also, we're going to die soon.
It's
no, you're not.
Both of them are true.
You will find a way through and you will have a renaissance.
A renaissance is
You'll
coming.
You'll have a renaissance.
My swag years are around the corner.
Is that shirtless old swag running
right,
in Cornelius
baby.
Yeah,
that,
talking?
We need to get you that t-shirt. Just a swag renaissance t-shirt. That would be great. 9 years ago playing beer league softball, I was running first to second on a double. Felt kind of weird, painful, dull thud in the front of my knees. Someone threw the ball at it. Turns out I had a ruptured patella tendon.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Those are the worst injuries to hear. Like,
those are bad.
I ran the first beer league softball. Wasn't even running hard. Achilles popped.
We had a listener that did that in one of our softball games years ago that popped his Achilles.
I remember that.
And he fell on the ground. He was like, love the show. We're like, sorry, man.
Do you pat him on the shoulder on the ground? Thanks. You'll be okay, I think.
Rub some dirt on it, man.
Good luck with the rehab.
The cart in beer league softball is coming out to pick you up. This is not a good luck, dude.
You just want to have a towel over your head the way athletes do when they're being carted off. He's like, no, don't look at me.
This is solid. Somebody said my lower back went out when I was picking up the remote control. That's well done. Strained my oblique on my first tee shot the day of my 40th birthday. True story. Hey, let's go golfing, guys. This will be great.
There's going to be some good ones. These are some good ones.
Oh, man. Yeah, multiple times I throw my back out sneezing. Occasionally, it just randomly starts hurting without really even doing anything. So thanks for making me feel better about being washed today, guys. I appreciate it. The wife's working today, too. So I'm going to get home, and it's like, all right, well, figure out what the hell we're going to do today. Put his like little bouncer thing on the top of the counter so I don't have to bend over.
Yeah.
Gotta get creative this afternoon.
Well, good luck to you. I'm glad you toughed it out to make the radio program.
Look, we're playing hurt today.
We are playing hurt.
We're playing hurt.
You came in questionable. You're starting. I don't know if you'd be starting on my fantasy team,
no,
but you're here.
No.
You're on my bench.
There's no Jordan Mason behind me, so I'm kind of all you got. It's, you know.
I know. I went 7 weeks. I realized I didn't have Jordan Mason.
We had to flex in dirt today.
Yes. Maybe 3 fantasy points, 4 carries, 11 yards.
You're
hopefully a goal line
just
carry.
Don't turn it over.
No fumbles. That's what we're hoping
you're
for.
You're projecting 5.7 in my fantasy league. I'm hoping you give me 8.
That's all I need is 8.
Let's
go above and beyond today.
Well, we got a good show. We do. Dirt is playing hurt. We got a good show. By the way, if you're just tuning in, Dirt pulled his back, lifting his baby. What's the most washed injury? You can chime in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. You can hit us up on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague or the YouTubes as well. Do not tweet at 1080fan just for the show today. Specifically, there's a thing, but hit us up on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague today, and we'll get your washed reactions to all of that. We got a loaded show. Marty Smith at 7 a.m.
Hell yeah, brother.
It's going to look weird on YouTube. I just want to be honest. I always feel weird not being honest about this. We taped it yesterday after the show.
Yeah,
we
was available, but not in our live window. And we said we still want to talk to Marty.
It's Marty Smith.
It's Marty Smith.
So we'll probably hit the wide shot.
Yeah.
So if you guys cannot do anything gross.
Sure. I'll try not to.
I'm not moving very far today, so I don't think you got to worry about me.
So Marty Party at 7, and then Josh Pate Wednesday, 7:40. He still thinks Oregon is a national championship contender. We need to talk about that with him.
Ooh, buddy, the wind in my sails, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if
Look,
that helps or hurts you. I don't know what it does.
When you're all in, when you're pot committed, you got to come back over the top.
We'll see how it goes this weekend. There's a lot of nervous energy down in Eugene right now.
Well, there's some bad news for Oregon State.
Oh. Maybe I know what you're talking about. It's a good little tease. You threw me off there.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if that's my tired brain or you throwing me on something I didn't hear about.
What's going on in Beaver Country? A little worried now,
They got an injury.
Okay, we'll get into all of it. We got Gundy audio to get into, the OC for Oregon State. Loaded show, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going on the Fan. We'll get to the Oregon State news. I missed it. Swag told me what it was. I had missed it. There was some speculation,
but there was confirmation, I think, late at night.
Put up on Twitter your most washed injury. Dirt's coming in with a pulled back from just picking up his infant child.
Somebody said, I'm 31 years old. I've been a personal trainer for 10 years. I threw out my back folding laundry this weekend.
See, that's real honesty right there. That person's in good shape. He's helping other people get in shape. It happens to everybody, man.
My wife threw out her back at 21 playing rec basketball practice in college. She went into the key, made a step, locked up. I had to walk out of the gym like a 94. She had to walk out of the gym like a 95-year-old woman.
Somebody tweeted us. It said, just wait, Dirt. You'll pull a hammy trying to make a smudgette. Then, boom, 9 months later, pull your back when you have smudge in one arm and a baby carrier smudgette in the other. Dirt a pair of New Balances right now.
I need that. New Balances. Maybe some knee. I might start wearing knee braces,
Nike
too.
Monarchs.
I need a new back brace, too. Like, it's over for me, and I'm okay acknowledging that. It was just a tough realization yesterday.
You know, New Balance has Otani and Cooper Flagg. I don't think New Balance needs to be made fun of anymore.
They got Flagg. They have Jamal Murray. They have Cameron Brink.
They've got a nice little...
Isn't Kawhi Leonard
Kawhi
New Balance?
Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. I did think this morning, because it's raining today, which I quite enjoy. It's a nice little fall day.
Oh, it's a preview of what's to come.
It's a preview.
Socks and shoes.
On my way in, there was already a crash at 4:30 in the Vista Ridge Tunnel.
Of course there was. We don't know how to drive in rain. We forget. But I was getting ready to leave for work, and I just, like, socks and shoes not happening today.
I was kind of excited to put pants on, to be honest with
Were
you.
Were you?
Yeah, you know me. I run a little colder.
Felt good. Put
so
a sweatshirt on.
I won't be cold when I get in the studio today. My legs will be covered.
This is nice.
We got NFL Zigger Zag to get to. This is interesting. We got a Super Bowl thing to bring up as well, but we're already kind of against it. But I want to dive into this. I was reading. This is a very random thing to bring up. But I was reading about quarterbacks in week one of the NFL. And Kevin Clark of ESPN, Omaha Productions, he had Thursday Night Football play-by-play man and college football god Kirk Herbstreit on his podcast yesterday. And they got into an interesting conversation. I want you to take a listen to Kirk Herbstreit, who is calling NFL games, will be this weekend with Miami and Buffalo. Here's Kirk Herbstreit on NFL quarterback play in week one.
I've talked with some guys about this. I don't know if it's a lack of preseason football.
Yeah.
You know, that's become the new thing is... A lot of the starters don't play, but it's the result is really bad September football.
Yeah.
I feel like September football is becoming what August football used to be, where you kind of work the kinks out, you find your rhythm, and now it's like you almost have to wait around for 3 or 4 weeks to get us into what you expect to see, you know, the execution. We saw a lot of quarterbacks that just were not really... the timing is a bit off. The execution isn't there. And, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you watch when pitchers get ready to go in April, pitchers seem to be a little bit ahead of the hitters. And right now it just feels like the defenses are definitely ahead of offensive football in the NFL.
So according to Steve Palazzolo, who we've had on the show formerly of PFF, these are week one passing totals every year since 2019. So we have five seasons here of week one performances with touchdown pass. Okay, so the first number I give you starting in 2019
to now.
And to now. 61, 52, 61, 51, 37, and week one, because of Aaron Rodgers, they finished with 34.
34.
So six of the top 15 paid quarterbacks. So the top 15 most paid quarterbacks in the NFL, six of them threw for 200 or more air yards.
That's a pretty eye-opening stat. And this is something that I know our good buddy Ken Barkley used to bring up quite often. And gambling early in the NFL season is keep an eye out on who plays their guys in the preseason and who doesn't. Because if you don't, there's going to be a bit of a gap there, and it's going to take you some time to get up to speed. I look around the league, and I think there were a handful of guys that played – at that position really well. I thought Purdy was really good on Monday night. Should have had a touchdown pass, but Ayuk dropped one. Mm-hmm. I thought Stafford was great on Sunday night. Baker Mayfield looked really good in his win. Darnold was fine and their win. Derek Carr was fine as well. I thought Tua and Trevor Lawrence had good games in that matchup. So it wasn't across the board. The quarterback play just sucked, but I think you can draw a direct correlation to how many snaps he played in the preseason, and then the other part of it being how many of your guys were there in practice. Like Manning went on this rant on the Manning cast the other night when Ayuk dropped that touchdown pass on Monday night, and he said this is what happens when you don't show up to camp. Like, that's a catch that Brandon Ayuk makes. He's a good wide receiver, and he let one go through his hands. It was a beautifully thrown ball by Brock Purdy, but your timing's a little bit off. You're not quite as in game shape as you should be, and so you're going to make a mistake there. Look in Cincinnati and how bad their offense looked. How many wide receivers do they have with them through training camp this year? Mm-hmm. You have guys holding in, guys holding out, guys not wanting to practice. You come out in game one, they're not all on the same page. They scored 10 points against the New England Patriots. So this is a trend that I think is absolutely continuing. I love Herb Street's analogy of baseball when pitchers are a little bit ahead of hitters early on in the season. And it's one of those things that I don't quite get. I mean, I understand why they do it because they're fearful of injuries and they don't want to take the risk, but I'd be way more willing to, like, go get a couple of series, man. Go play a half. What is the percentage chance that you're going to get hurt? I'm willing to risk that to be on the same page in week one.
My other thing is, though, it's every other league now. And if you're going to extend it out to 18 games eventually, which everybody thinks the NFL will find a way to get the players to acquiesce to that. It's like every other league. It's like the NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA.
Yeah.
The first month of the season, you know, you're still figuring it out a little bit, learning on the fly. So
there is a there's an article that I saw, which I didn't think I would read it. SB Nation, a website I don't really frequent as much anymore, but I saw this and just kind of digging into it a little bit. Outside of the week one passing touchdown totals that we have and how much they've dropped just in 2, 3, 4 years, the run trend is interesting too. So when the NFL became pass heavy, we talked about it, right? Mahomes gets on the scene, Allen gets on the scene. You just start seeing 300-yard games as if they're just nothing. I think that's what stood out to me about week one from the opener all the way to Monday Night Football, and we had talked about it a little bit at the end of last week, and now coming into this week, you only had two players throw for 300 yards. Mahomes was close at 291, Baker was at 289, but like you mentioned Sam Darnold. Darnold was good in that game. He was efficient. 208 yards.
Yeah.
Derek Carr, the Saints almost put a 50-burger up on the Panthers. 200 yards.
Look at Dak Prescott. We're all talking about the Cowboys.
Dak
Super
Prescott,
Bowl contenders.
179. Yeah. Geno Smith. Hey, nice throws, Geno. 171.
Yeah, sub 200. Herbert was, 144 yards in their win.
Lawrence and the Jags go up big on the Dolphins early. 162. Like, it's just interesting. And this SB Nation article cites the trend where the NFL became so pass-heavy that eventually, guess what they've done? It swung back the other way. Now the run game matters a great deal. So now I jokingly was thinking about this, reading this article about, man, are we going to get back to like running backs making $30 million because the run game becomes the biggest deal? But if you go look at the trends, the EPA on all plays, the pass ones are significantly down and the run trends are significantly going up of just what teams are now countering with. Defenses are starting to figure out pass defense and the way that they kind of scheme up, and it's leaving more leeway for teams to switch back and become a little more run dependent. I think you look at the passing totals early, and it is early. It's just kind of indicating that the completion percentage, by the way, is the lowest it's been since, I mean, even before 2019. It was 63.8 in 2019. It's 60.3 week one this year.
That's a pretty low number. I think the other part of this, too, is defenses understand that offenses are going to be a little rusty early in the season, especially if they didn't play guys in the preseason. And so you're just going to get a too high safety shell look and say, go 11 plays to score on your drive. And guess what's likely going to happen? You're going to do something. There's a false start. There's a hold. There's a bad play. There's a negative run. Now you're in third and 13, and you're going to have to settle for a field goal. I think there's some of that, too, where defenses are understanding. Don't give up big plays. Keep everything in front of you. Make them go the length of the field. Make them go 9, 10, 11, 12 play drives. And eventually, because of the rust of not playing in the preseason, they're going to do something stupid, and you're going to be able to get a stop because of it.
Have you noticed this, like, watching the game, that it feels like it's
early in the season? I'm not surprised by this. I'm surprised, I guess, by how glaring some of the numbers are. But this is a thing now.
Just how little the pat. Like, people are like, oh, Rodgers was fine in that game. And I'm like
no,
eh,
dude.
But he threw for like 140 yards, 160 yards.
And I understand the importance of running the football. And it's a key in certain places like Buffalo. It's like, that's great to see them run the football. And for the Chargers, it's great to see. They've never had a run game. Like, I'm all for that and helping out those quarterbacks. But in terms of offenses struggling early, I'm not surprised by it. And it's a little frustrating because I wish guys would play a little bit more in the preseason to get up to speed, because I think some of these numbers will continue to go up as the weeks go on in the NFL season.
Passing is down. All the quarterbacks not named Patrick Mahomes suck, I guess.
That's
Matt Stafford, Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of it.
That's a 1-2 right there.
That's all we got.
Everybody else blows.
I mean, it makes me kind of reevaluate quarterback stuff for sure.
Run
these
the football.
Guys are making more money than ever. They're getting worse by the year.
It's the 1990s all over again. Go get Mike Allstott and run the football, damn it.
I love a good fullback. The Chargers have a 6'4", 300-pound fullback.
Dude, the Niners ran a wheel route to Juszczyk. I love watching them throw passes to a fullback.
Juszczyk is so fun.
So fun to
One
watch.
Of my favorite Niners. All right, coming up next, did they get it right in the NFL? We got Zigger Zag at 45 and then Marty Party at 7 a.m. Marty Smith of ESPN at 7 a.m. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. You think the bay gon' let you disrespect pop? Well, probably the hit of the summer. And Jay-Z and the NFL have decided he's popular enough and hot enough. This will be the halftime performer of the Super Bowl. Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar going to be it.
At the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
I'm a big fan of this.
Are you?
Big fan of this.
Really?
I'm not a huge... I mean, I listen to Kendrick Lamar. I'm not like up on everything that he's done, but
sure.
I have heard this song, and I know the main backstory. I have heard that song.
It's the whitest thing you said all day.
I know the backstory of the beef with him and Drake. Like, I'm up to date. I'm hip with it. Okay, I'm cool.
How'd you throw your back?
Yeah, easy. I just have. I think after last year, I have decided I don't want any more dancing. The dancing thing is dumb for me.
You didn't like the Usher performance?
I don't like
J Lo and Shakira.
People lip singing. I mean, sure, if the sound's off, it's great, but. I just, like, why would I want to watch somebody do a halftime show that's just lip-singing and running around a stage dancing? That, to me, doesn't make sense. The best halftime show we've had in the last 15 years.
Oh,
well,
tell us.
Maybe not 15. There's going to be some that I forget in there.
Yeah.
Last 5 years. I'll go last 5 years.
Do you remember all five?
No. But I know Usher was last year.
Yep. In Vegas. You didn't think Usher was good? He was singing and dancing. He was out of breath.
I know. I'm not a big Usher guy. I know from our generation that's
really
controversial to say. I'm not a huge Usher guy.
You're probably jealous because his abs and all the ladies want.
That guy's not throwing his back out, picking up his kid.
God, he looks the same as he did when I was in high school.
Was the LA Super Bowl the year before that?
Yeah, that was the celebration of hip-hop.
No, that was 2 years before that.
Oh, that was 21. That was the Burrow
Super
Bowl.
Who was the year before Usher then?
That was Vegas. That was the weekend with the cocaine and the mirrors.
Yeah. That one sucked. I hate the weekend.
Awful.
The Dre and Snoop one and Eminem,
yes.
Like, that is
that
the best
great.
One of the last 5 years. Easily really? The best one of the last 5 years.
Easily.
Not even close.
Okay.
Name me a better halftime show in the last 5 years.
How long ago was Gaga?
Oh, that one was good. That was the Falcon Patriots Super Bowl.
That was like was that 7 years ago?
Five, she, 6 years ago?
No, that was that Super Bowl. His last
2018?
Super Bowl was it 2017? I don't know.
God, look at us just naming off.
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of noise about this. I guess Kendrick Lamar gets picked, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty obvious piece.
So he's the headliner. There'll be a couple other supporting people that come in.
Well,
eventually.
The noise was, I guess it's in New Orleans, so people were upset Lil Wayne didn't get picked.
Yeah, there's usually a connection to the city when they do it. Like, when it was in L.A., it was Dre and Snoop, and that's why that was the Rams
but
and Bengals.
But that's just from Vegas. He's just performing in Vegas.
He's there, basically. I think he's been an adopted Vegas citizen because he's been performing there for so long.
Why is Celine Dion?
So is Wayne Newton.
Usher, no, the year before Usher was Rihanna.
Oh, that's right.
She was pregnant. Rihanna.
That was awesome. A good one.
Then it was Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar performed at that one as well. Then it was The Weeknd in Tampa.
That sucked.
Year before that was the Shakira, Jennifer Lopez.
I didn't think The Weeknd one sucked. You had it sucked?
Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
And if you go back 5 years, it was the game in Atlanta was Maroon 5.
Oh, the Maroon 5 one doesn't ring a bell for me.
Lady Gaga was 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
And the one after her was Justin Timberlake. So those are your last seven halftime shows.
I hate to admit this, but I fell asleep and I woke up at the end of the Gaga performance.
Did you? I mean, she was good.
Gaga was
terrible in the first half.
That was a horrible game.
I was on the couch. I was like, this is both so boring.
That was the most exciting thing of the first 2 hours of that game.
It was
her halftime show. Didn't she like parachute down from the top of the stadium or something?
Well, she taped her jumping off of something.
Yeah, it was a little movie magic, but it was cool.
It looked cool on TV.
So are you excited for this?
I am excited for this.
Are you? You're the old white. Are you excited for this?
I'm not as familiar with Kendrick Lamar as others, so but I'm like I'm not planning to like not pay attention to it in halftime or anything like that.
How into rap are you? I don't really know. What's your musical taste?
I own Run DMC on vinyl.
Somewhere
in a box.
You don't have like a record player where you would
I do
have
not
that?
Have a record player
why
anymore.
You got to get you a record player, man. Record players are fun. So I don't use it fun. A ton, but when you're sitting around and you got like,
you know what record players are good? A cleaning Saturday.
Yes.
It's nothing going on. You know what? I'm going to dust. I'm going to do some cleaning on the counters and whatnot. You put a record on. You just hear that little scratchy sound. You let it go out.
You go the one half of it, and then you can go change to a different artist. It gives you a break from the cleaning to be like, what am I in the mood for now? Yeah. Where do I want to go now?
So Run DMC. Cool Mo D.
Okay. Like, so it's been a little while.
It's been
since
a little
you
while.
Listened.
Right?
It's been a while since he listened to rap
music. A lot
music.
That's changed, I would say, since that era. Just a heads up.
Been a minute. I am excited, but I do. I get if you're a person from New Orleans, why this would be a little upsetting. But I would much rather listen to Kendrick Lamar than Lil Wayne.
I haven't listened to Lil Wayne.
I don't even. Is he still alive? Is he still going? I feel like Lil Wayne's died 17 times.
The Carter 3, maybe for me.
Okay,
I've heard Lil Wayne songs, but like he got into rock and
Yeah, he's doing a show with Skip Bayless now.
Oh, God. You know, I saw an argument that, like, it was an article about why they got this wrong, and it was mainly because Lil Wayne is New Orleans. You think of New Orleans, you think of Lil Wayne. Kendrick Lamar is L.A. How dare they choose the L.A. guy for New Orleans?
Wow.
And I kind of chuckled at it because it was just a whole big, how dare you not pick the most New Orleans guy possible in the hip hop world.
Mm.
And I chuckled because Lil Wayne is a Green Bay Packer fan.
Yes, exactly. He is.
So miss me with this whole Mr. New Orleans.
Well, and I don't
business.
Think of rap or hip hop. When I think of New Orleans, I think of traditional jazz and Dixieland.
Well, again, Kool Moe Dee for you.
it's
Manny Fresh online too.
Yeah. New Orleans has had a strong rap run.
They've had some good rap
for a long time. I see your larger point.
I had no idea that there was any scene of like that, because you think of Bourbon Street and Mardi Gras and all that stuff.
There's a lot of great jazz there. New Orleans is an awesome city.
It is.
I was a little surprised that it wasn't Jon Batiste, because he's had a bit of a moment.
He's not going to pop out.
And he could.
He could be with the band and back him up or something like that.
Or Trombone Shorty, something like that.
Yep.
There's got to be some sort of band angle to this. But I heard this on the news because I was curious. I didn't know how they did it. So the host city who gets the Super Bowl, I didn't realize this, they submit a list of artists. They have their final however many, and they submit it to the NFL, and then the NFL decides
Jay-Z decides.
One of the main. There's a board
he's
of the
running
NFL.
Rock Nation. It's partnered with the NFL. He's been picking the halftime
shows. He gets to call it, and so the city of New Orleans, you can be upset as you want. The NFL didn't make them put Kendrick Lamar on the list. The city of New Orleans put Kendrick Lamar on the list, and the NFL said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Also, no offense to New Orleans. Again, great city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Schmo, who's living down the road from Bourbon Street or in the suburban area of New Orleans, not going to the Super Bowl. That is an entirely corporate event. So
yes, it is.
It doesn't really matter how good the tie is, I think, to the city.
No.
Just give us a good show is all I ask.
Well, to your point, a lot of these you look at, like Usher's not from Vegas. He has a residency there. But when I think of Usher, I don't think, Vegas.
I think Wayne Newton.
The
Swag was right. It's Wayne Newton.
The only one that's
Siegfried
ever
and Roy.
That's fit. I'm sure there's a
the
one
blue people.
Older that you could point to, but like when Snoop and Dre did L.A., it was like when you think of L.A., that's one of the first things that pops into my mind.
NFL Zigger Zag next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We got Marty Party coming up at the top of the hour. We'll dive into some Oregon State stuff. We played some landing audio yesterday. Got some audio from Ryan Gunderson.
Friend of the program.
Yes.
We haven't had him on, but he's a friend of the program.
He is a friend of the program.
He's a non-guest friend of the program.
And then some bad news for Oregon State. Let's get to NFL Zigger Zag. It is Wednesday. I'm really happy with Zigger Zag today.
You got a good one?
Yeah.
No,
that's not what I said at all.
No, okay.
Thursday night football is Bills at Dolphins. Both start 1-0 on the year. The only one this team in the East is the Jets. And last year it came down to the end of the season matchup for this division between these two teams.
It did.
Josh Allen is coming in with a hand injury. It's on his left hand, his non-throwing hand. Here's ESPN's reporting on that injury.
But I asked Coach Sean McDermott, you know, is there anything you want to see from Allen out at practice to make you feel comfortable? And it was just doing normal things, he said. And Allen did that. He took snaps under center. He was in the shotgun, doing his normal things, passing with receivers, and even doing his usual handshakes with them. So it was really not much out of the norm. During the portion that the media was out there, which is that throwing session, it was really a normal Josh Allen practice. He wasn't, you know, using that left hand too much, but as you said, it's his non-throwing hand. He's not really doing that anyway. When I talked to left tackle Deion Dawkins, you know, is there any concern we've got your quarterback injured? And he kind of laughed at me a little. He was like, did you see him leap in week one? Josh is Josh. There's no concern here.
Dirt zigger zag, there's no concern about Josh Allen having a banged up hand after the first week of the season.
I'll zig on that because it's a, that was a weird sound. Sorry, did I dirtgasm there?
Swag, I'm asking you.
There's music underneath it. It won't sound good.
Please pull that.
He's gone again. I think he went pee again.
I haven't pulled that. That was
I'm going to, so wait, hold on. Ask me the question again. Now I'm distracted. What, I need to remember if I'm zigging or zagging. My dirtgasm threw me off my own loop there. I can't remember which route I was going to go.
No concern about Josh Allen having a banged up hand.
I zig on that because it's his non-throwing hand.
All right.
Not ideal, but to me, it being some big alarming issue, I'm not there. If this was his right hand throwing hand, by all means, five alarm fire. Week one, this guy's always banged up. That's not where you want to start. I think you can make do with this. You just hope he doesn't get it whacked or hit in some weird way throughout the course of the game. This is a really fun Thursday night football game. I think clearly the two best teams in that division, maybe the Jets surprise us in the next 2 months and wake up. And hey, look at that. It's 2014 for Rodgers. These are the two best teams in the division. Not a doubt in my mind right now. They both won games that you could argue they probably shouldn't have won in week one. I mean, the Dolphins are down 17-0 at home. The Bills were, or they both were down 17-0, and they both came back and won. So, nice comeback wins for both of them. I'm gonna zig. Not a huge concern week one.
To potentially the biggest game of the NFL slate this weekend. This is an interesting weekend. There's some really good matchups. This one might be the biggest, given the history. Cincy at Kansas City. The Bengals looking to play better after their week one loss to the Patriots. Paul Denner Jr. of The Athletic, who covers the Bengals, wrote this of Joe Burrow's game versus New England. The percentage of throws to or beyond the sticks on third down with 5 to 10 yards to go. In 2023, 57% of the time he made those throws. Week one, 20% of the time.
Yikes.
Dirt zigger zag with a loss and now a Mahomes game. We're going to get vintage Joe Burrow this weekend.
I'm going to zag on that. This is a weird team. They've gotten off to slow starts the last couple of years. Now, I've got a bit of an axe to grind because they eliminated me from the survivor pool in week one. So, slightly biased right now against the Cincinnati Bengals.
They hate this team. Jamar Chase won't say Mahomes' name.
That's fine. Beat the New England Patriots, dude. You can't score touchdowns against the New England Patriots at home in your opener. That's great. You want this to be some big, bad rivalry. Guess who's the best team in the NFL?
Mahomes.
Jeez. Guess where you're going on the road to this week?
Kansas City.
Later in the season, playoffs, maybe it's something different, but this is exactly how they started the last few years, and they've had to slowly get out of their funk and find their way into the playoff race. They're a slow-starting team, and this is not the place you want to go as a slow-starting team. There is nothing that they showed me in week one that leaves me confident for what they're going to do in week two.
To the next Monday Night Football game, where your boy Kirkers...
Oh, God.
...is coming off quite the stinker.
He's going to get eaten alive in Philadelphia.
A 59 quarterback rating, 2 interceptions, a 61.5 completion percentage, and a loss to the 6 field goal Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, that's a playoff team last year.
Might cost me $50 that game. We know they paid Kirkers, but they also drafted Michael Penix. So I'll ask, zig or zag, with another stinker... Kirkers will only have a couple more weeks to right the ship, or we see Penix replace him.
You know who they play after the Eagles this week, too? You know who Atlanta has?
I don't. I didn't look at their next game.
They got Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. So their next 2 weeks are on the road in Philly. At home against Kansas City
and
on Sunday Night Football.
He looked like dog crap.
He looked terrible. I love that the NFL has their NFL Plus thing or whatever, and you have access to the All 22 film, and everybody can just tweet out these footages of the overhead film that you really want to watch.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, it's awesome. And I don't subscribe to it. I think it's like $100, whatever the NFL, what's the NFL subscription thing for the year? I think it's like $100 for the year or something.
Whoa,
but you can watch film. So people will go and like clip the videos and they'll tweet it out.
Yeah.
Here's every snap of. Yeah. So I watched one of Kirk Cousins. This was every drop back throw that he had. And you could see, like, just not comfortable.
He's not
pushing off his back foot.
Yep.
Clearly not at 100%.
Nervous when people get around him.
I'm going to zag on this just because it's the second week of the season and because of the financial commitment that they made to him. I think you got to give him a month. I think you give him at least the first four games.
That would be a month, what I just said.
If I thought you said after this week.
A couple weeks after that.
Okay.
So that'd be four games.
So then I'll zig on it. I'd give him four games, and if he's not looking confident, if he's not pushing, and Penix is showing me things in practice, that's the other part of this. Like, how does Penix look in practice? They only had him play one preseason game, so they clearly thought he looked good there. But I think it's fair to him to at least give him a couple of games to say, let's see if you can get comfortable, see if you can make some throws. And if not, then yeah, you got to turn the page.
Finally, Sunday Night Football seems like an exciting matchup on paper. Caleb versus CJ Stroud. Bears, Texans. Caleb coming off quite the stinker against the Titans. Dave Wanstead on 670 The Score is not concerned.
Okay, he missed some throws. I will say that. But let me tell you, I was more of a fan of his after hearing his press conference than I was before the game. I really was.
He handled it well.
This kid gets it.
Yep.
He gets it. He understands. And he's going to bounce back real strong.
Dirt. A lot of copium there in Chicago. Zig or zag, Caleb will redeem himself this weekend.
Time. I'm going to zag on that, man. They showed me nothing offensively. I think there was a stat out there like 57% of their plays were either gained for no yards or negative yards, like over half the plays that they run. This is an offense without a pulse, and this is what cracks me up about the way we talk about quarterbacks. If they don't get fluky turnovers and Mayo boy flipping a pick six, they lose that game. And you're not coming on Chicago Sports Radio and saying, I love the way he handled it. He's really mature. You would be panicking because they lost the game.
But he didn't throw for 100 yards.
Wins and losses are now a quarterback stat. And you could do nothing and sign your name on the group project and turn it in at the last second and get an A and say, look how hard I worked the entire term. Well done, guys. Well done. Way to get an A on that project. He did nothing. Their offense was terrible. I think it's going to take him some time. And if I were a Chicago Bears fan, you're not panicked by any stretch. But of all the rookie quarterbacks, he had easily the easiest matchup of them. He was at home, and their offense was the worst of the three, and it's not even close. Now you got to go on the road. You're playing the Texans, a team that got a nice division win this past week. I'm considering gambling the Texans minus -7, to be honest with you, after what I saw from Chicago's offense.
There we go. NFL Zig or Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. We dive into college football talk. Marty Smith joins us, hour number two, next on The Fan.